The season of Lent for 2016 is drawing to a close. Next week is Palm Sunday. We begin out on the labyrinth with shouts of joy and hosanna. We get our palms or cedars, and then we come into the church and we start to celebrate the arrest and trial of Jesus. We remember it. But today we're still approaching that day, but we're getting ready. And the season of Lent this year has been all about reconciliation. How do we make things together? Because that is the image of God. God wanting His world to be together, to be at peace, to be unified, to have understanding, not to be ripped apart with divisions, with two sides hither and yon, but to come together. For there to be understanding, compassion, and the word I want to focus in on this morning, empathy. I want us to think about Paul's letter to the Philippians, the reading that we've had earlier that Wendy read for us. And Paul is talking about himself and how he was at one time in his life a persecutor of the church and how he was a Pharisee and that the Pharisees were very strict, very much by the book, to be feared. They were outcasting anybody from the way at that time in the church's history. And the way was the early name of the Christian church. And so if you went to synagogue, because by this time, well, not quite by this time, but church worship in the Jewish tradition was not just in the temple in Jerusalem. The temple was about to fall a few years later. But by this time, the synagogues were on the ascendancy. And if you went to the synagogue and they already knew that you were following Jesus, you could be escorted out. You'd be seen to be a rebel rouser, that you were seen to be unclean, not good enough. And sometimes they were let out of the synagogue in a harsh manner, and they were kept outside, even though they felt a compassion to be in the group. And they wanted to also proclaim Jesus in a strong way. Paul was explaining where he was, though, because he was one of the persecutors of the early Christian people. And now he'd shifted and was proclaiming Jesus. So I want you to put yourselves in the place of the people who were of the Christian way, and all of a sudden this guy, Paul, who had been putting the boots to you, was saying, I'm one of you, and I want you to love me. I want you to care about me. Can you imagine that would be a bit of suspicion? Sure. Because somebody who was considered to be less than by somebody else who was saying, we care about you, is always suspicion. But the Christian way is to have a sense of care, compassion, and to walk in the other person's shoes. And that is called empathy. Empathy is striving to break through our own sense of what we think is the correct framework of life and to have an understanding of where the other person's point of view really is. And that's the call of Christ, is to really work at that. And it's not an easy call. I mean, to put it into our own terms, it's like seeing Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump hugging each other. You can see what's going on. I mean, all of us have seen a bit of what's happening south of the border. but try to bring peace to all of that and bring it together and have unity. That's the vision of God. To have empathy, to understand where the other person is. Now, I gave you all a little drawing this morning. And empathy has a number of segments to it. It calls us in the area of thinking and feeling, of hearing, of seeing. And then we have to look at the gains and the pains. And we're going to talk a little bit about all of that. An emotion, it's important to remember, and you may want to write it down, but maybe not. An emotion is a spontaneous internal response to a person, place, or situation. And emotions have no morality. No morality. And that's an important thing to remember, because we have emotions. That's part of God's gift to us. And emotions form a part of our thinking and decision making. But if it's only based on an emotion, whether the emotion is good or bad, it'll always be wrong. And we've seen emotional decision making playing out as the American election scene unfolds before us on television. Whatever side you see it, there's a lot of emotion. And there's a lot of decisions for action being taken based on emotion. We, as Anglican Christians in the Diocese of New Westminster, how often have emotional, visceral responses to what's going on as we strive to work at reconciliation with First Nations people. First Nations people have a lot of visceral, emotional responses as they hear about us trying to overcome the pain of what has happened in the past. And everybody sometimes thinks, I've had enough and I want to get beyond it. And all of that's understandable. But as we enter into the discussions, and as we think about early Christians, how they worked with Paul and came to see him as a leader, and how they overcame their suspicion, they had to have an empathy, which is putting yourself in the place of the other person. And part of that is to understand the emotion of where the person is without getting invested with our own emotions. And the next part of that is the thinking part. I have to think about where that person is. Doesn't mean I have to be there. Because if you want to put it in another way, empathy is when a person is like a movie projector and they project themselves at us and we have a little screen here and we receive what they're projecting. We understand it, but we still have our own body as a whole. We still have our gifts. We still have our understanding and our own thoughts. We're not going to get lost by their projection. When you get lost in the projection of the other person, that is not empathy. That's codependency and sympathy. And you forget who you are, and then you get into lots of trouble. We do that when we're teenagers and we first fall in love. That's when that may happen, and if we still get stuck there, then we've got problems. But empathy is thinking, I still have my own thoughts, but I can fully understand, even at an emotional level, what the other person is projecting and where they are. So when that is happening, we are taking that segment called seeing. We see the other person clearly, but we're not enmeshed into it. The early Christian people had to see where Paul used to be when he was called Saul, but had to see that now he was giving his life for the Christian church, that he was following Jesus. They had their suspicions, but they also had to overcome their suspicion with love. So they were seeing. And they had to hear the message. They had to fully understand that Paul was once there, but is now moved and is here. And we in our own time have to hear where we are now, not where we were. And we also have to hear what, in this time of reconciliation with First Nations, we have to hear the pain. And we have to understand it in our hearts and our heads. I mean, I want you to imagine what it would have been like. The other day I saw a report that modulated radio signals have come from another galaxy. It's pretty exciting. The modulated signals first started appearing as little bits of radio signal and was picked up in the year 2003. But they've now got longer bits of radio signal. Being a ham radio operator, I know that there's static waves that a spark will make, but a spark is not modulated. But they have a modulated signal that they're now receiving from another galaxy. And that can only come with intelligence. So that means that there's some intelligence generating a radio signal in another galaxy that we are now picking up. Do you know when that radio signal was sent out? The year 1070, or roughly 1,000 years ago. So if they were generating a radio signal that came out 1,000 years ago, we only started generating modulated radio signals 100 years ago, approximately. So that means they've got a 900-year start on us technologically. That's a thought. You have to be real. This is there. So, with that kind of knowledge, they are probably advanced. And you can imagine the fear we might have if they landed and all of a sudden their energy and their ways of doing things were so superior to ours that even if we didn't like what they were doing, we were powerless. That's what First Nations people experienced, because they had their own way of life here. They had their own understanding of a monolithic God, creator. They had their own culture, languages, ways of doing. And all of a sudden, these people who they helped when they first arrived to survive a winter or two, overtook everything. And they found themselves shut out, captured, their children taken away. And now we're working at reconciling and coming back to wholeness. We have to understand both sides. First Nations people are understanding that we are genuinely seeking to become whole and get over our painful ways. But we have to understand where they feel too. It takes generations. That's part of empathy, and that's part of what the early church had to do when they had to deal with Paul. They had to get over the fact that this guy who went out to get them was now with them and caring about them. So they had pain. They had pain of disbelief, but then they also had gain. The sense of doing what was right, walking with God, and being at peace and unity. And that's the challenge that we have in this Lenten season. We are called to become whole, more whole in the vision of Jesus Christ. Christ calls us to be one. And the step to getting there is to be empathetic with those around us so that we understand where they are, we understand where we are, and we work at crossing the divides and being neighbors. And I pray today, as we receive the sacrament, that we remember that we are called to this wholeness, that we are called to a life and ministry of reconciliation as we follow Jesus, who reconciles us to God through his death and resurrection, which we are preparing for and celebrating this season. May God bless us all as we journey. Amen.